today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It was a chilly night. Mike, it's still cold up here, right? For some reason.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I get it. They for the first time from owning their house for like roughly, they moved two and a half years, a little after I bought my house. They tried the chimney. And they're like, this is wonderful.
They built a fire.
Yeah, they built a fire. And
they tried the chimney, Mike.
For a moment, I was in shock, but then I'm like, all right.
You know, yeah.
It's like we're married. Been married for a decade.
But it's still...
I mean, you'd probably share a toothbrush, why not?
But it's an intimate...
Yeah, but don't put the toothbrush down there.
It's intimate.
Oh, so your marriage is different?
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
You know, I got something so good to lead with today, but Oscar got me all ramped up talking about UFC.
Sure.
Because I did buy the exorbitant ESPN Plus package to get the fight. My question is, when I bought that, Oscar, does that mean I get now
ESPN Plus?
All of the Ultimate Fighting on ESPN Plus?
I already had ESPN Plus, so I just had to pay for the pay-per-view.
All right.
So you now have access to all the 30 for 30 catalogs. It's actually a bargain if you think about it.
All right. Well, then I'm glad. We were talking before the show I have come in here on so many nights after the big fight in boxing and talked about what an incredible... I've never seen a Mayweather fight that I thought was anything other than, Floyd dances around the ring and doesn't get hit.
When is the last time you saw a boxing match that you walked away from saying, God, that was great? Because I don't remember
Tyson
you ever.
Probably the Mike Tyson era. Yeah. You know, where Mike Tyson, when Iron Mike would go into the ring and you'd know it was just a question of time.
Yeah.
And that's when boxing, was at its absolute pinnacle. I think there were great fights with Sugar Ray Leonard back in the day. Mm-hmm. There have been some upsets when you go back to George Foreman and fights like that, but they're very few and far between. The Floyd Mayweather era, and the most memorable in recent memory for me was Manny Pacquiao against Floyd Mayweather, where I came in and I felt just so totally ripped off that it was just such a nothing, you know, and the UFC Ultimate Fighting and, it was the first live sports we've had of any kind in a very, very long time. And I don't know what their numbers were, but
was it more exciting than the golf reruns on Channel 9 this weekend?
It was so much more exciting
UFC
than that, you know.
249 was one, and I've watched a handful of these, Mike, over, I would say, the
Well, you
years.
Guys you guys on your other show have interviewed those
but,
guys.
And the guys, I mean, Drab and Chad are way more into the sport than I am, but I'll tell you that this is the first pay-per-view that I didn't buy with the guys, like, when we were watching it all together.
Okay.
That I ever watched with my wife just at home alone. And I was, the value of that card, and even the prelims that you could watch on ESPN.
Oh, my God. There was just fight after fight after fight. There was one bad fight. There was only one bad fight. And that was the two fat guys that were fighting in the ring, and they fought like fat guys. They fought like fat guys.
Did they come in on mini bikes?
The guy busted his toe, and it was
the guy broke his toe with this flick kick and couldn't fight after that, you know? And it was just, he literally stopped throwing punches, and that would have been good if he hadn't. But they kick each other. They choke each other. They fight each other. And from start to finish, it was amazing. And I want to learn the names of these fighters, because there's one, the African fighter, the heavyweight,
find him.
Who I wanted to learn his name because I think he may be the face of the sport. I think he may be the greatest Ultimate Fighter. And this is the way they described him, Rob. They said, if you get hit by him, you may not go down with one punch, but you're done. He's that strong and he's that powerful. And he caught a guy on the chin, and the guy, and to see one other heavyweight just go out like a light is something else. The whole thing was I watched boxing for Ultimate Fighting all night long. It was that special. It really was spectacular. I enjoyed every single minute of it. It was nice to have anything live. Now, as my wife said, and I can't disagree with her, it is completely barbaric. But at the same time, the rounds, the fights themselves, rounds are longer, fights are shorter, which to me is a good thing. The but you know, when you hear at the end, I think it was Gaethje that that won the fight over Ferguson, and you heard him, you know, talking about, I just want to say I'm okay. Yeah, you already know that that noggin has taken. That's a drag. These are young guys that have very short career spans because they, you know, they're getting taking blows to the head.
How do they have it set up in this age of COVID-19? Obviously, there's no social distancing in the ring, but there's no crowd, I guess, right?
I will give Dana White and the Ultimate Fighting company that that he's a part of. I know very little about it. I know that he's the head honcho, and Joe Rogan is the color guy. Joe Rogan, who Joe doesn't look like I remember him looking.
Now, Shannon said the same thing. She goes, "How much HGH is he on?
What's he doing? Joe Rogan? I wouldn't want to fight him. That's God for sure. Him. But he looked a little.
He's jacked.
He looked a little puffed up. He looked a little bit puffed up. And he's an odd guy anyway, but I mean, it's...
Francis Naganu Nokea.
Okay.
And that's the gentleman you were just referring to. This is the thing. The guy comes from nothing in Africa, right? In a sub-Saharan continent that I can't even remember. I'll figure out the country. I should know. And then they show the backstory for these fighters, like they do any time, but... This guy comes from nothing. Like, he has nothing to lose. This is all he's got. And then what I thought was really compelling is even not just for this interview, but the post interviews. Mike, as you were just mentioning, even with Ferguson saying that he was okay with his kids.
They're such real tough guys, Oscar, because they're so mellow and they're so understated. And yeah, some of them can get mean and mad before the fight. But most of the time you got this guy from Africa who knocked the other heavyweight out, and he comes on and he's just like, "Well, I just like to say this is really," and he's kind of super mellow, and you're like,
wow,
this guy is going to be such a superstar in the sport. Just a highly entertaining evening. And I felt, especially with pay-per-views, so often that those things, and the way they did it, Rob, was nobody in the arena. And they brought the buffer guy out, you know, the buffer brother.
Brian Buffer.
The other one who's just like, "And now, here we go." Which I love that, too. I love that, you know, in the left corner, the main event.
So very old school, right? The way he does it?
He went all the way. The ring announcer, what is the Michael Buffer's
brother's name?
Brian Buffer, who I like much better than Michael Buffer. I like Brian Buffer, we have a history with Michael Buffer.
Yeah, and he's very litigious. Yeah.
Michael lawsuit Buffer. You know, but this guy, it was just fun because they really did everything. The only thing missing was the crowd, and they talked about that. They didn't hide that. They technologically did everything that you would see in a fight. The UFC gets a 10. And believe me, I would love to pick apart that, but every element of their production from I think there was what they were. Their coverage is so wonderful on television that I think they missed one shot with the cameras. I mean, it was that noticeable because they were so good at what they do, and they did it just like a regular fight. And I think most sports fans, like me, were clamoring for live sports competition. Yeah. And look, I get the whole barbarism thing. I do. It's terrible, but it's something we watch. And I know that I'm an animal, so I watch it. And I'm a guy, and I'm entertained by men pummeling each other. I can't help it. I am. I admit it. Call me an animal. That's what I am. But at the same time, if you're looking at it strictly from a production point, they did everything and more that they could. They didn't hide the fact that they could hear the breathing now. They could hear the corner instructions. You could hear the blows. It was
was a thought I actually had. In an empty arena, if they had properly mic'd the ring, it had to be even more sort of sensational because you were hearing the hits.
You heard the blows. You've heard about that. I've heard from my boxing buddies that get up close that if you're up close to a prize fight in boxing or in ultimate fighting, that's the tough that you can actually feel it. Oof. You can feel the. But they did such a wonderful job and didn't keep it a secret that they were there. It was really. I watched 8:30 till probably 1 o'clock or so when the whole thing wrapped up.
Even the recap was fascinating as the guys were talking about. So you had their entire broadcast team, the three guys. You got DC, you've got Joe Rogan, and I forget the main guy. But I sit there and Rob,
is it Vince Scully?
No, but I guess what I'm really concerned with is the layout of the broadcast.
Right.
They have them on like they're 6 feet apart on different tables.
Right.
Yeah. So your traditional layout for a fight would be the three guys sitting right in front of you
in a
row.
Yeah. In a row. Sure.
No.
And Joe Rogan in particular created the. I think he may have. No, he probably didn't do anything differently. I think that. But his. Whoa! When there would be a bow,
was the
crowd reaction.
Yeah.
Rogan either, I'd love to interview him and ask him about that because I think he probably did that to, it might, it, look, he might,
do you
I
think he overdid it or were you okay with it?
No, because that indicated, you always get a crowd reaction to see if the guy scores.
Yeah. Right.
That's how you kind of, if you miss it, that's how you get it. And Joe Rogan provided
that. The team did a great job overall.
And what Joe Rogan is like really respectful to the fighters, which I like a lot, which Jim Gray, you know, not necessarily in boxing. He's always a little smarmy. Mm-hmm. And who's that other guy? Oh, God. Larry Merchant used to be kind of smarmy with the fighters.
Sure.
You know, these guys have like given their body and soul for the, you know, 3-4 rounds of this, and you don't get snarky with them. I like the way Rogan does his post-fight interviews, and I also, you know, like what he does for our industry of podcasting.
Sure.
I think, you know, he's well known. You know, one time I criticized Joe Rogan on this show, I never got more of a groundswell from our listeners who we share listeners with Rogan. It's like, what? How dare you? I've had Joe Rogan. Man. Like, okay, I backed off on the guy. But, you know, and he also looks like he could kick any of our asses
sure.
if we got into the
through the internet, he could do that.
But the whole thing, I know I'm gushing about it, but it was, Mike, it's new territory for me, and I really loved every minute.
There's a lot of people, and for the you purists out there that know this, God bless you. Like, you've been on the train for a while.
Right.
I've been on and off the train for a while, so like I kind of knew what I was getting into. But to watch it with my wife for the very first time, and for
I watched
her,
a little bit with Carla,
and
too.
For her to stay throughout all the fights,
Carla did not
to get so into it that she started figuring out like what bantamweight was, like what these guys, how tall they were, like what the weight classes were. Like you, they made so many fans, Mike, this past weekend.
Wednesday, right? Another fight on Wednesday.
Yeah,
I think they're doing it on Wednesday night.
But
it's like live sports. Hello, live sports.
You talk about capturing a market, right? And for better or worse, they did their best to keep everyone safe. But you sit there and you're like, damn, like how many people are having the same conversation, Mike, at home with their friends on the phone or on Zoom or whatever, saying, did you get the fight? Did you see that final bout? Which one did you like best? Did you see one of the top guys retire in the game right away when he was done with that fight?
It's a magical piece of timing, because what they did is they gave you a good presentation at a time when America was most hungry for
it. It was the most stacked deck you've ever seen in UFC.
Yeah. And they took advantage. They didn't squander it, which is great. So they've got their act together. Well, Dana White's a pretty smart guy and has been doing that for a long time. The whole concept of that coming along when it did, when boxing was at a low ebb, and boxing just too busy. Too much going on with boxing. Mm-hmm. Dana White seems to run a pretty tight little ship with not a lot of moving parts, right? I mean, it's just the fighters, the train. And there seems to be a pretty significant honor code with the fighters. There's sportsmanship abounding in that, there's concern, genuine concern. A lot of these guys that are in there trying to take each other's heads off are friends. So to watch that, it's really, I don't want to sound like a jerk, but it's just so, it's so masculine, it's so manly, it's so truly warrior sport. You know what I mean? It's just there's nothing showboat about it.
And I said, I got to do something about this.
Oh, it's just so real. They're just such real warriors, and the punishment they take. I'm sorry. I admire the guys. I'm a barbarian. There you go.
A lot of people discovered it, and then realized that whatever like misnomers or hesitations. Well, how about this? True hesitations they might have had about how "quote unquote" barbaric the sport is.
Right.
They got over it.
Yeah, well, it's
like,
something to watch.
Well,
it's
all they
yeah.
had.
Yeah,
it's like the old story about the guy that says, "Why are you gambling at this casino? You know it's fixed." He says, "Yeah, but it's the only casino in town." So it's
that's true.
It's what you got. It's what they're feeding.
We got that. All right. So, oh boy. All right. A week or so ago, I discussed the story of my duckhead back scratcher.
Yeah, and, that old back
and
scratcher.
Carla discovering me in the bathroom with my scratcher and how embarrassed. Well, I'm here to tell you that we have another story of back scratching, but it's not really back scratching, but it is discovering someone in my own bathroom. Well, I just should get right into it. This is going to be difficult for me to tell you this story, but
well, we can all do this together.
I will do, and Rob, any time during this, if you can find anything to assist me with any kind of musical accompaniment after I get rolling here, feel free to pepper this.
You got it.
So much going on Monday's show. We've got a celebrity death that means a lot to Rob and me that we just got before airtime. We'll talk about that later. But this is called Surprising Carla. That's what this story is like. So I broke, as I mentioned, the keto fast on this weekend, the Mother's Day weekend. We were planning something big for Sunday. It ended up spilling over into Saturday when we discovered that my place, Iguana Mia, is now actually manufacturing their frozen margaritas in a big gallon jug and selling them. And we dove into those on Saturday.
Would this qualify as a game changer?
Well, it doesn't miss a thing when they hand you the jug of the frozen ones and you bring them home and you put them in the freezer and then you pour them out. It was fantastic. And after Friday night, I was quite surprised that I revisited on Saturday, but it's only a liver. So so Sunday, Carla and I are both kind of vegged out a little bit, and Carla finally says, "Well, I'm going to go take a shower," or she went off to her room, and I was embedded after after our morning activity on the couch. And really, we had some bad eating, some bad drinking, and that just makes the body go into a vegetative state, which I was in. But at a certain point, nature calls, and it was up out of the easy chair. And Carla was nowhere to be found. I didn't hear her in her bathroom. I didn't hear her. Michael was off in some screen, which is what he does. And then I moseyed my way into my bathroom where I was going to go winky-tink, and I came around the corner and I said, Carla, what are you doing? The scene that I came upon was my wife.
No.
Free of any clothing whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
Naked. She was sitting on the bowl facing the water tank of the bowl, if you can imagine.
So
that.
An inverted,
inverted posture. on the bowl, legs akimbo, and I said, "What are you doing?"
Yeah,
and it was then that, to my horror, I saw her reach down and put a device on the counter, and it's not what you think. The device was my beard trimmer. She was ladyscaping.
Yeah, oh, that's nice.
You got to do it.
Well, yeah. I guess everybody does it once in a while. And but I said, "Is that my beard trimmer?" She said, and she started to laugh.
She asked him why.
And
why
she said,
I'm a hairy guy.
She said to me, she said to me, I didn't think you were going to move. So she.
That's actually more painful.
I said to her, why in here? Why did you do that in here? If you've been in the she said, well, this is where your trimmer is. And I looked, and then I guess she was. And by the way, I have to give her some credit. Pretty nice job.
Well, considering most people have professionals,
right? It's her line of women, right? Here's one for Carla, okay?
Give me a head with hair, long, beautiful hair, shining.
You can't go to the beauty salon and get waxed.
Right.
I looked over her shoulder and I saw what appeared to be some sort of tarantula in the bowl.
Oh, no.
I don't know what was going on, but it was
like the back of Indiana Jones's jacket.
Look, at the end of the day, outside, and I said, "Do you clean that trimmer afterwards?" She said, "No." I said, "Oh, thank you." So
it's tough. It's a catch 22 because it's your wife, and you're like,
"It's my wife.
I shouldn't care."
It's not like she's doing anything other than maintenance, which is a good thing, I suppose.
I've been in two similar positions. Mm-hmm. One in college where one of my roommates used my clippers for my hair. That for some reason, when your mom is an esthetician, she buys you stuff you'll never use, but just in case, right?
I got it. So this was a roommate of the female persuasion?
Yes. When I was in WVU.
Because, if it's a dude, I mean, just for whatever reason, that's going in the trash.
Yeah, clearly.
That's a new trimmer for me.
And a new roommate.
One of my roommates.
Took it and used it for those purposes.
It was still in the plastic, mind you. So it wasn't anything I was ever using. They were using it.
It was in the plastic when they found it.
Well, they found it in my bathroom. No big deal.
So it was, as they say, new in packaging.
New in packaging. At that point, I said, keep it fine. Two. Shannon used my hair clippers, not the ones I currently have, but ones that I had bought a while ago, on Santos. And I was like,
really?
Do you know how much those cost? And like, those blades
are... I'd be very unhappy with the dog.
I would too.
Yeah.
What's it say about me? I'm not really all that, for a moment I was in shock, but then I'm like, all right. We're married. Been married for a decade.
But it's still...
I mean, you'd probably share a toothbrush, why not?
But it's an intimate...
Yeah, but don't put the toothbrush down there.
It's intimate.
Oh, so your marriage is different?
Depends what type of toothbrush.
That's right.
So...
start the show. We'll come back and talk about this.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again.
I haven't celebrated Festivus in years. What is your interest?
Well, just tell me everything, huh?
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
What happened to the doll?
It was destroyed. But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
Well, that must have been some kind of doll.
She was. And at the Festivus dinner, you gather your family around and tell them all the ways they have disappointed you over the past year.
And is there a tree?
No, instead there's a pole. Requires no decoration. I find tinsel distracting.
Frank, this new holiday of yours is scratching me right where I itch.
Let's do it then.
All right.
Festivus is back! I'll get the pole out of the crawl space.
Hello, Frank.
Hello, woman. Well, happy Festivus. What is that? Is that the pole?
George Festivus is your heritage. It is part of who you are.
That's why I hate it.
Look, it's a big dinner Tuesday night at Frank's house. Everyone's invited.
You're forgetting how much Festivus has meant to us all. I brought one of the cassette tapes. Read that poem.
I can't read it. I need my glasses.
You don't need glasses. You're just weak. You're weak.
Leave him alone!
All right, George. It's time for the Festivus Feats of Strength.
Oh, no! Get it off! No feats of strength! I'm Festivus!
We had some good times.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Lost some good talent in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Safe travels, Jerry Stiller, wonderful, I think 92 years old. Man, what a great late life career.
Yes.
Had a wonderful career on the Ed Sullivan Show, 36 times on the Ed Sullivan Show, and then got back into the spotlight on Seinfeld and King of Queens.
Yes.
And I had the honor of meeting Jerry Stiller and watching him run his lines behind the set at King of Queens, which was so much fun to watch. And really, really safe travels. And he gave us Ben Stiller as well, another incredibly funny human being. So take care, Jerry Stiller. We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Podcast Village. Great to be here with you. From Deer Park, New York to Helena, is it Helena, Montana? Is it not?
Helena, I believe it's Helena, yes.
Helena, Montana. Helen! Rochester Hills, Michigan, Lakeview, Oregon, Lee's Summit, Missouri, and Port of Spain, Trinidad. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Lightstream. Are you paying more money in interest than you need to on your credit cards? Refinancing your debt today, you can do it with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Quickly roll balances from multiple credit cards into one single monthly loan payment. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay, so much lower than the national average credit card rate of over, are you ready for this, 19%.
Oof.
That's the average rate. All right?
Yeah.
Take a look. Take a look at your credit card debt sometime and take a look at the statement. See what they put it on there. They have to, legally. And, you'll look at it and go, oh, my God. There are absolutely no fees with Lightstream. The application is quick and easy, 100% online. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Check out this actual Lightstream testimonial. I heard a commercial, checked into a consolidation loan, and just a few hours later, had my approval, and my funds were ready to be transferred. Awesome.
Hours.
Apply today to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/TMOS. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/TMOS. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply. And offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/TMOS. For more information. All right, so there it is. And I said, well, I have to talk about this. that's where we are with that. And kind of balances everything out after my, not as bad as my thing, of course. But
well, I think that there's a lot of psychology that goes into this. One is it's your property, right?
Well, yes.
It's like if... And there's always a thing when even Shannon uses my Harry's razor when I know I bought her a separate Harry's razor to use.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's always like this layer of I know you have your own thing here. That's fine.
Right.
Within this quarantine world, I think there's been a lot of compromise made.
I think
that's a great word for it, Oscar. Yeah. Compromise.
It's been a strange time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do our shows on Fridays, and it was an interesting show with the wives this past Friday because it started out so incredibly chill and mellow. As somebody who runs the show, it's really kind of getting everybody to come out of their shell and coax them.
Yeah.
And then by the bonus hour, it's blah, 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 blah,
fun.
Blah, all over the place. Fun. In an exhausting sort of way.
Controlled fun.
Yeah.
It's controlled fun. It's
controlled fun. That's a good phrase.
Well, it's out of control fun towards the end.
No, it was out of control fun.
It was, well, I try. I completely get surprised because I'm cruising along saying, this is fun. I'm going to be nice.
Isn't this great?
I'm not going to be a monster. And then something, you know, Carrie and Carla will do something again that, then I turn. But I don't think I was over the top. Rob was more over the top than I was this week. Rob was talking about, you know, the sweet release of death by the end of the show. That
I mean,
you had a tough slog on Friday, more than
but
most.
But Carrie
of us,
killed once again.
Once again, yeah. She didn't kill me, but she killed, and it was it's fine. It was just we got into a topic that was featured on one of her reality shows that we cannot discuss on the regular show. That I thought was a little over the top, and that was a lot of people seemed to enjoy it.
Oh, you mean the birth control thing?
No, well, that and also the digital manipulation.
Oh, the digital, digital manipulation.
The band Digital Underground.
Yeah, Digital Underground.
Anyway, it was, that was, I was, that went a little far even for me, I thought.
Yeah, sometimes your face towards the end of the two shows, you know, you look like you've been rode hard and put up wet. That's
Paulie found a picture of me, and I didn't even remember doing this with my headphones off, actually holding my face in my hands.
Mike literally left and let Carla host the show.
I remember that. Yeah,
I did at a certain point. You know, the thing is, I should probably write down little notes to myself on how to do it. The key for me is to not, if I'm going to do any storytelling, like I told the story of discovering Carla, the storytelling should come early in the program.
Yes.
Because no one's going to be able to tell a lengthy story with Carla and Carrie in the room. It's not going to happen later on because they're just going to get distracted. They both have ADD and they both get kind of, do.
Right? I know.
I mean, they do. They don't focus. They focus on talking.
Look,
not on listening. That's the way it goes.
We're all a little that way. We just haven't been diagnosed.
I think we are a little bit.
Carrie loves to interrupt while she's surfing the net. That's how she is. She's like so all over the place.
You know, speaking of ADD and issues, I feel guilty for dissing this guy over the years. I watched the most riveting documentary. I think it was on Netflix. I'm pretty sure it was. I think it just dropped. It was the Daryl Hammond story.
Really?
The Saturday Night Live impressionist. I had no idea.
And currently the announcer of Saturday Night Live. He replaced Don Pardo.
If you want to take a look at an interesting story, take a look at this. And the one thing I forgot is that Daryl Hammond, I love great impressionists, and I think Daryl Hammond's Bill Clinton was the essence of the slicky boy part of Bill Clinton that I thought was so spectacular.
I don't think anybody ever did it better. I watched the
documentary.
The doc itself.
It's amazing.
Even if you were like a casual fan of Saturday Night Live, you're like, oh, I know that guy. You don't realize like how he got where he got.
Amazing.
The personal
amazing story.
Struggle.
Yeah.
That he had in relation, like just interpersonal struggles with relationships.
Wow.
So, you know, always.
Can I ask you a question about him? Because I value your opinion on impressions because you are you're great yourself and you have your favorites.
He's a cunning mimic, as you've said in the
past. He's a cunning mimic who actually did a lot with his career.
So, when you look back, and there are people that are responsible for inventing impressions. For example, David Fry's Richard Nixon was he set the table for it. And
he was known for his Nixon.
And then John Biner really sort of mastered Ed Sullivan in a way that no one had ever done before.
Right.
Do you think that Daryl Hammond is that for Bill Clinton? Because everybody did
100%.
Bill Clinton. Okay.
The Daryl Hammond, here's where the essence of, and he talks about the process of what he did. Mm-hmm. And, I probably do the same thing, but not as consciously as he does, with a breakdown of how these characters work. But he did Clinton. He created that essence of the slicky boy Bill Clinton that nobody captured as well as he did. And I mean, I was going back when you can look back on an impression from 20 years ago and laugh your ass off.
Sure.
The one I never heard him do, and I only heard it in the documentary, was Reverend Al Sharpton, which
really
is spectacular. And now I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with doing it myself and stealing it from him. And I may or I may not. But what you don't know is the backstory of Daryl Hammond, which Oscar, if you saw the documentary, truly amazing what he went through. And I always thought my knock on Daryl Hammond was that I always thought he was such a I'm too cool for school guy. No, I think you're looking at a guy that's been through the ringer in his personal life and is numb, and had so many issues that nobody knew about. And we don't see that. You know, Saturday Night Live, we see what's on the screen in front of us on Saturday. By the way, their Mother's Day special. I'll throw darts at Saturday Night Live. You've heard me do it before. Their Mother's Day special was spot on. I thought they did a fantastic job. And that's what they ought to do. I think they ought to cherry pick the great bits from the past, Mom Jeans, which was one of the funniest of all time that they had. And they didn't do that live stuff. The NBC comedy special, I wish they'd just done stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. That would have been fine. Andrew Dice Clay in his garage was pretty goddamn funny, too. So NBC kind of won the day with me last night. But Daryl Hammond has a backstory of child abuse that
I had no idea.
Has resulted in him for the majority of his adult life being in an incredible bad state. And in maybe still is, really, Oscar. I took that away from that document, that this man is still, got a long way. Who knows if it's even a long way to go. I don't think he's ever going to heal completely from what he went through.
So you look at like a Phil Hartman, and you're like, oh man, like tragic, a massive rise to fame, and then his life is ended by an ex-wife. The Daryl Hammond is like, it's completely different, but they're like, all of these artists are tortured one way or another.
A lot of them are. Yeah. Right?
This brings up, they did, NBC does a classic Saturday Night Live at 10 o'clock on Saturday night, an older one. And they did one from, I guess, 1992. Christina Applegate was the host, and I put it on just because the TiVo or the DVR grabbed it. And I realized it was the episode that had the debut of Chris Farley doing Matt Foley, the motivational speaker.
Right.
And I started watching it, and not for sadness of missing Chris Farley, the laughter I knew that was coming, I started to well up with tears from crying laughing. Carrie was watching it, and we actually said, call Robert. And Robert came down, we rolled it back, and he had never seen it before. And we watched it, and first of all, the hardest thing was explaining to him that was David Spade, because David Spade looked like he was 10 years old.
I know.
And so, but
they were best friends, of course. Yeah.
And that whole bit is so perfectly constructed, and he said, well, whatever happened to that guy? I said, well, he died. And he said, and what about the dad, who was Phil Hartman? I said, well, he got shot. And it's just like, when you look at the amount of talent in that one little 8-minute clip that's gone, it's horrifying. But I love the fact that it hangs around. But, again, it speaks to what you guys are saying. These are tortured people that are just killing it and making
I think
laugh.
When I watch those anthologies, like when they put a Mother's Day special on, I think of all the bits in Saturday Night Live, fake commercials. Probably that's at the top of my list.
Yeah,
the fake commercials that go all the way back to the live ones they did with Julia Child, or I just
the Bassomatic,
with Dan Aykroyd. I love those bits. Those bits are the Mother's Day bit, and you see the cream rise to the top when they have the anthology shows, because you just see who has the talent. And I called this a long time ago. I'm sure a lot of other people did too. But Kate McKinnon is in the genius category as far as performers, people that stand. Kristen Wiig really also, I think, gets a lot of credit. I threw darts at her a couple of times, but when you look at the body of work, she's somebody who consistently delivers with the little hands with Betty White. It was just, they've hit a lot. We've given them a hard time. It's tough to manufacture that every single week.
And when
you
talk about the cream of the crop, and that great Mother's Day special was zooming along at 100 miles an hour, and it was just great. And then the cheerleader sketch with Will Ferrell.
Oh, see, I turned it off before that.
Oh, it was like a Jake break. It was the worst.
No, that you and I have hated that bit forever. One of the worst.
So horrible.
A lot of America likes it. All right, we got to take a break. That's your TV viewing update and your shaving update. Yeah. Practice good personal hygiene, ladies and
always.
Gentlemen. Let's run it under the faucet, for Christ's sake. That's it. We got to take a break. And
the razor, that is.
Yeah. We'll come back with, I'm going to say something that's controversial, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart, when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
There's lots of talk about strong communities in these troubled times. sticking together for the good of all. But nobody's helping me scrub toilets and clean the kitchen at the casino. Makes me feel crazier than a monkey on a motorcycle trying to steal a baby. Uncertain times? One thing is certain. The ladies of TMOS will take names and kick some ass on Friday's fun show. I'm thinking I might just invite Darlene.
Are we doing it again this Friday?
Then we have to.
Yeah, I think we do.
All right. We're going to do it this coming Friday, 7 o'clock Eastern. Be ready. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. How's that for an endorsement? Yeah, the TMOS cocktail party. Hope you're not getting bored.
I don't think they are.
This portion of our program is brought to you by MyBookie. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, sports fans, why the long face? Is it because the return of your favorite sport seems to be forever away? Sigh.
Sigh.
If you miss the fun, the excitement, the action, I have the solution. Just grab your mouse and take a virtual trip and visit MyBookie. MyBookie has all the action you crave, and it's right at your fingertips. Blackjack, roulette, slots, war, more. Action, baby, action.
Action. Mm-hmm. You love the action.
Well, as a gentleman told me one time in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's all about the action, baby.
Mm-hmm.
All about the action. MyBookie has live casino dealers online. That's right. MyBookie has professional dealers at their tables, live on site, 24/7. There's somebody dealing blackjack right now. Stay to the end of the show. All right, go ahead if you have to. I've signed up. I love it. We need it now more than ever. And you can trust an industry leader like MyBookie. They're reliable, upright, and best of all, they pay when you win. They pay fast. Visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code TMOS for a 150% bonus on your first casino deposit. That's promo code TMOS to receive more than double your deposit in a cash bonus all the way up to $750. Use promo code TMOS to activate the offer. Being stuck at home just got a lot better. MyBookie.ag. You spin, you win, you get paid. All right. I've been meaning to get this off my chest.
Controversy?
I might have said something. No, not a big deal, but it's something that's important to me to say. And I know this is going to piss some people off. I know there are people out there that are going to disagree. I don't care. Cupcakes, let me just say this. Cupcakes suck.
Mm.
Big cupcake sucks. Cupcakes are crap. I am never eating. I am saying this, and I swear to God, if I ever eat another cupcake, I will come on here and tell you. But right now, I do not plan to ever,
how dare you,
ever eat another ridiculous bad icing to cake ratio cupcake by some hausfrau sitting behind her little farmer's table at the farmer's market that we drive all the way from Fort Myers to Sanibel to stand next to the dipshits in the Jimmy Buffett t-shirts without masks to get our cupcake when we all had, my family, including my six-year-old, had a mask on and it's open air and we were 6 feet away from him. I still gave him the death look. Like, you suck. That's a whole different story. We'll get to that tomorrow. The whole mask thing I get tomorrow. So my mom is talking to a friend of hers. Not my mom. My mother. My wife's mother is talking to her mother on the phone about this cupcake store and this lady that sells these cupcakes. And it's just cupcakes. I know they've had the TV shows about Georgetown cupcake.
Yeah.
That's when it all started. Cupcake. All right. Yeah. Cupcake to me is when you just don't want to make a cake. You know, make a goddamn cake. Put the right layer of icing on top of it. Don't give me 6 inches of gross buttercream crap on top of that much cake. And so
you got a bad cupcake. I disagree with you. It's a bad cupcake.
I know. You know what? I know you're not alone. I know there are going to be lots of people out there who are going to be disagreeing with me. I have never liked big cupcake. Now, cupcakes used to be fine when you go to a kid's birthday party and they'd poop out a little dollop of icing on a chocolate or a vanilla cupcake and you eat it. Bingo bango. I'm talking about, when I talk about cupcake, I'm talking about these cupcakeries,
boutique cupcakes.
Ooh,
first of all, you shouldn't be buying
4 cent dollop of dough and buttercream that cost me 6 cents to make that I'm going to charge you $5 for. Giant cupcake, big ripoff cupcake that is not on any level satisfying.
Somebody is going to say this, so I will say it first. They say what you need to do is take the cupcake, break the bottom off and put it on top and eat it as a sandwich? And I say, no. Because what you have done is you have sold me something that is structurally inferior already.
Thank you.
Don't
Thank
make
you.
Me finish it. Now, I will say this. Offered cupcakes, I've never turned them down. They're fine. But a cake is better than a cupcake.
A cake
just by ratio
is,
alone.
A cake is Duff Goldman and his fabulous cakes. But what I don't like is the little cupcakery. The cupcake. The, think of the effort. What do? You buy, you make the batter, you pour it into a pre-made shell, and then you just make the ice and you just poop it up on top.
There are many times, Mike, when I'm driving in, when I was driving into Washington, D.C., and I would take off of Wisconsin Avenue or M Street and take a left onto 33rd, and there's people waiting in line for Georgetown Cupcake to open. I want to roll my window down with my finger extended and say, idiots! Because it's not worth it. It's a cupcake. It's not worth waiting in line for.
It can't be eaten like a snack.
The cheesecake cupcakes are amazing.
Yeah, but you know what? What about a cheesecake?
There's a word that I would not use. There's not a cupcake made in the world. It's amazing. It's not amazing. Might have a flavor you like. It might have but there's nothing amazing about it. Amazing.
But the idea.
A great blueberry pie can be amazing. Can be amazing with the flavor.
For Mother's Day, we picked up cupcakes and a pie from Pie Sisters.
I'm sure that all these little cupcakeries around the world kicked a little booty ass on Sunday. Because what are you going to do during the fact that people are dropping like flies in a pandemic? Oh, go to the cupcakery. This is the red velvet peanut butter. F you with your
come
cupcakes.
By for curbside pickup and a financial rape. We would love to have you for Mother's Day.
Have you tried our buttercream maple douche cakes? They're so fantastic with their 6 inches of icing on top of a little bit of
honey bacon carrot pecan, please.
I make the mistake yesterday. And Carla gets these. We go down. We drive. It's a nice drive down to Sanibel.
You buy in.
We drive down to Sanibel. I'm like, get out of the house. Excuse to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. Go to a farmer's market. First time I've been at one of these. They have masks. They're required. People weren't paying attention to that.
By the way,
slick guy in your like mid-30s, taking you to a walk with your little attitude. Blow it out your ass, you douche without a mask on. All right? I know you were looking at everybody like, I don't have a mask. Oh, aren't you proud of yourself? Yeah. Are you proud of yourself that you're endangering your fellow citizens?
Yeah.
You ass.
I bet he loves cupcakes.
I don't know if he got them. But first of all, we go to it's a small little farmer's market, and everybody is social distancing, and 99.9% of the people have masks on.
Where do they set up? I'm curious. Because
they're in the back. It's down some dirt road and in the back in the corner, near a condo complex or something. It was open air, and we were not. But what I liked about it, I said, Carla, if this is balls to the wall, shoulder to shoulder, and people don't have masks, we are not getting out of the car.
You stay and she goes.
I said, we're not going to do it. I said, be prepared. I said, if you agree to that, you know, we can go down there and do that. So we get, it's wide open. There are not a lot of people. It was perfect in that regard.
Great.
So we go over, they got the, it's like every, those farmer's markets, they have a few people selling produce, and then you have the barbecue truck that's there, and then you have a couple of French bakery.
Was there a honey guy? There's usually a honey guy.
There's always
there
a honey
guy. Is there a soap lady? There's sometimes a soap lady.
Yes, it's so typical. Right. It's like they all have the same formulas. And then we come around the corner to the cupcake lady. I'm not a big cupcake guy to start with, so Michael, my son, wanted a bottle of water, so I went off in search of that. As I'm going off, I see Carla standing in front of the cupcake stand, the lady with her little card table and her little beautiful wares all displayed there. And she's finishing a transaction with the person, the guy in front of her. Well, I guess in cupcake land, they don't teach you basic economics, because you could close on a private jet and a large home in the time it took this buffoon to check out this guy with his one cupcake, where she goes over to her phone and then she gets her receipt book and then she's writing down facts and figures, because I guess she wants to get that overpriced cupcake down to the perfect penny. And I come around the corner after Michael gets his water, and I'm looking at my wife and I go, Yeah. Yeah, it's like,
what's the story?
You're buying like a half a dozen cupcakes. What's the deal?
Yeah.
She took a long time. Yeah, I know. So we get him home, and she says, do you want to try a cupcake? I said, well, we're eating badly. I've thrown keto out the window this weekend.
Sure.
We might as well dive into a cupcake. And so she cuts one. We get a carrot cake. Well, carrot cake is good. We don't need a carrot cake cupcake, but what the heck? We get a wedding cake.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, isn't that nice? And then key lime pie. So I sampled the carrot cake. A regular carrot cake is better. The wedding cake, didn't taste like a wedding cake as far as I was concerned. Then we arrived at the key lime pie cupcake. All right. There's a reason key lime pie is a great dessert, because key lime pie is a great dessert. A key lime pie cupcake is just a bastardization of this thing that is fantastic and they ruin it.
A key lime pie is creamy and it's got almost like a gelatin base. How do they transform that to a cake?
They don't. It was wildly unsuccessful.
Wildly.
The cake part of the cupcake tasted like it was dipped in salt. It was disgusting. But we drove all the way down for this scary good, because everybody with cupcakes are the most amazing cupcakes. They're the most amazing cupcakes. You must go for the cup. No. And so I said to that today, so I'm coming in today. Cupcake sucks. Send me the letters. I'm ready. I can deal with it. Okay? That's it. I understand.
I don't think cupcakes should be at a farmer's market anyway. We're looking, we're looking at produce, honey, and maybe soap.
I'd feel safer buying cupcakes from like a little box store.
Right. By the way, and if you're a chiropractor at a farmer's market, I think you got to get into a different racket. Okay?
Really?
If you're hawking your chiropractic services at a farmer's market, it might be time for you to go back to work as a greeter at Walmart. That's just my opinion right
was
there.
He we socially right was he a socially distancing chiropractor?
Didn't make eye contact, Rob, so I really
good
didn't
idea.
Know you know
good
everybody
idea.
Was social distancing. I stayed 8 feet 10 feet away from everybody with my mask on, with my surgical mask that doesn't fit over my face. We'll take a break and we will come back with more fun and more. Hey, there was a fire in the neighborhood.
Fire in the neighborhood
when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Too much show to get to today. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Gary Busey. Sometimes I like to buy things, but now is not the time to go out to my local box store to stock up on Busey essentials. Things like Cheez-Its, Vaseline, shoelaces, and tape. So I use the TMOA Shopping Center, Target, and Walmart. It's right there at MikeOMaraShow.com. It's like I always say, shopping online puts the cream cheese on your dog's nightly daydream. Museism. By the way, I shopped like this way before COVID-19. You see, managers asked me to stay out of their stores. Something about upsetting the shoppers. They've been asking me to cover my face since 2014. Remember, this really works, because you can't go fishing if you don't tie up the gorilla cabbage. Museisms. The TMOS Shopping Center. I love it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Thank you, Gary. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Stamps.com. For all our sakes, we need to avoid crowds any way we can.
Yes.
But what if you need postage to send out letters and packages? Have no fear. Stamps.com is here. Anything you could do at the post office, you can do at Stamps.com. Print your postage on demand and skip those crowds at the post office. No human contact required. I think that's good. That's easy. Mm-hmm. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer so you can stay hunkered down. And as if that wasn't enough, Stamps.com also offers UPS services with discount rates up to 62%. And with Stamps.com, you don't have to pay UPS residential surcharges. Plus, 5 cents off every first-class stamp. Wow. Stamps.com, a no-brainer, saving you time and money and keeping you safe in these crazy times. Right now, our listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and you type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com and promo code TMOS. Stay safe, my friends. All right, so Oscar said there was a little... siren in the neighborhood this weekend.
So Saturday night, we are just in our little house, and I hear the what you think,
like they're on the street.
But you know, you're not used to hearing that unless you're on the scene of some sort of EMS emergency,
right?
And when you have thin windows in a little home, it's like it's in your house.
Did you see any lights coming through the window at all?
I was in the kitchen, so that's how loud I heard
it. On the floor, sleeping.
Yeah, on the floor, passed out.
Well, Mike, you can't lay on the floor. The floor is full of holes.
Yeah, there's holes. Dirty tile. Mice.
Rats.
So I go, I was like, what the F is that? I thought somebody was effing around with like their police car loudspeaker or their squad car loudspeaker. Because it wasn't audible, but it sounded like more like a teenager or maybe Mike O'Mara was in a car asking people to pull over or
hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Yes.
What time was this?
This is roughly 7:30 p.m.
Okay, so it's early enough where you're not waking up.
Dusk. And it's daylight because if you forget these fire trucks that roll into a neighborhood, they have these big lights that light up a house.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
when they're little homes, it looks like it's daylight outside when it's supposed to be nighttime.
Yeah.
And you smell smoke. And I'm like, oh, my God. God forbid that one of these homes is on fire, because some of them are just made out of wood and they'll go up. Hey, that'll be
might
it. Be, right?
Might be a windfall for you, though, huh? Oh, no. Wouldn't that be something, right?
Oh, if my home was. Yeah,
root for it.
I really didn't think about it at that point. But,
hello,
but yes,
travelers?
Looking at it this way, yes.
Well, let me ask you this before you continue. In the event that something tragic had happened.
God forbid.
would the reimbursement for losing your home in your vernacular, would the juice be worth the squeeze as far as homeowners insurance for replacement costs?
Yes, but going to jail would not.
Well, no, it wouldn't be.
No, it wouldn't have been your fault.
No, I'm just saying.
Like
it wasn't your fault.
Fire, something happened. If
your
one
house
died,
burned down,
yes,
if your
we would not rebuild.
be off to Olney. Yeah. Find that house next to mom.
Yeah, that'd be it.
You know, having barbecue with cakes.
Like, see you later.
All right, I get it. Right.
The house across the street from us was the victim of what had happened. And
was it engulfed?
It was not engulfed, but this is... So you see smoke billowing out of the front door.
Uh-oh.
Not a good sign.
Now, this is the thing. They have two kids, a dog, wife, and husband, right? Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, man, like I hope everybody's out of there.
Yeah, really.
So these firefighters who are like heroes, like just... Anybody on the front line, especially these days, just rolling into people's homes.
Right.
Just doing their job. They figure out something's going on with the chimney. And you know, I have a history with chimneys in old homes as I tried to take one down on my own.
That's right.
And I think this maybe actually would vindicate me for those that said, why would you ever try to do that? Why would you ever not want a chimney in your house? These wonderful people, this wonderful couple with their kids... it was a chilly night. Mike, it's still cold up here, right? For some reason.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I get it.
They for the first time from owning their house for like roughly 2.5 years, they moved in two and a half years, a little after I bought my house. They tried the chimney and they're like, this is wonderful.
They built a fire.
Yeah, they built a fire. And mm-hmm. So
they tried the chimney, Mike.
I don't know. You're supposed to say it?
That would be the translation.
They built a fire. Thank you.
Building a fire means you tried the chimney.
They built a fire.
That's right.
They built their first fire in 2.5 years?
Yes, because they have radiator heat like I do, so you don't really need it unless you have to. But I'm sure there's a sign for anybody that has a fireplace that's not gas that you're like, oh, it's fun. I remember as a kid, I would do it with my family.
Well, and also it's complicated in its own little way.
Yeah,
it's pretty simple. But there's a particular thing you have to do. It's called the flue.
The flue.
And you have to make sure the flue is open. And if you happen to, I happen to know a little bit about this.
Mike, I heard that COVID-19 is a lot like the flu. Is that true?
No, it's not, Rob. But thank you for asking.
Okay.
The flu has to be open, and you also, if you have not used a fire, and it's got the griblies that, where you haven't gotten Dick Van Dyke to come out with his chimney sweeps and clean that chimney
sweep
out.
Chimney sweep is here. Chimney sweep's here.
The chimney, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. You can get a chimney fire, and they're pretty disastrous in some cases, where a spark will set off the material that is stuck to the inside of the chimney,
Mike,
and cause a fire.
It's like you were here. It's
so
they didn't even realize.
The chimney sweep is here. The chimney sweep is here. A lamp in time. A lamp in time. Gonna make your chimney shine. You know why? Give us a try.
Chimney.
4 4 6 6 3 9 0.
Great jingle.
On time.
All right.
Okay. So enough, please. So we noticed right away that the kids are outside and they're barefoot because they're at home just hanging out in their house. So we grab jackets and some shoes for the kids.
That's
so they
nice.
Could throw on because they're outside. They're outside the house.
Oh, so they all split and they all split. Were all
yeah,
freaked
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah. So and the mom and the husband's still inside the house, but he's with the fire fighters. He's just trying to figure out what's going on.
Not right? my fault. But not
the,
my fault.
But the mom's outside and she says, "We didn't even like when the fire department showed up. Like we didn't like I thought they had the wrong house when they were knocking on our house. A neighbor." Saw the flames coming out of their chimney and called the fire department. Otherwise,
so they saw flames like up on the roof?
Yes.
Wow.
They didn't even realize this emergency was happening. So when the fire department, they got there just in time before something really bad happened.
Well, I bet they still have a lot of roof damage probably if it was coming out.
There's enough damage. They can still be in the house because they're still there. But there was enough smoke damage that I'm sure it's going to take something to fix up, right?
Wow.
But I'll say that like the idea that you have looky-loo neighbors isn't always a bad thing.
Yeah, no, and I got not. When I was at the Manassas house and I didn't have a usable chimney because whatever reason. Mm-hmm. These old houses, you got to check that. And sometimes you do the insert. That's this tube. Aluminum tube that goes up there and you're kind of that's inside your chimney.
Because you were eventually able to do fires in that.
Yeah, I put a fireplace insert in mine.
That's what happened.
Yeah,
so
that's how a lot of people get by it.
A text we got back from the family and also a nice, wonderful touch. One of the kids brought over some cake and some treats the next day.
Same thing. It wasn't key lime cupcake.
It was not a cupcake. I wanted to make sure it wasn't.
Mike, actually, what it was a beautiful plate of smoked salmon.
And
we got that when we went down to Sanibel, too.
And I said, they texted us, and the couples that we've been very, like, we know each other. They're like, hey, we found out the flu broke. Like, it just failed.
Oh, okay. So that, I mean, if the flu broke, that wouldn't have been a fire. That would have just been smoke in the house.
Correct. But the, so I guess I think it's twofold. It's a lot of what you said, because what she said, she heard almost like a rocket ship take off, like, whoosh, and it flew up. So whatever was, and I my only guess is whatever was impeding the fire from actually getting out, like the griblies.
Caused a little flare up in the chimney.
In the chimney. And then the flu broke from the pressure coming back down.
Chimney.
Everybody okay now?
Everyone is safe. But right. Again, for those of you at home, get the chimney sweep.
Yes, yeah, check your chimney if you haven't had a fire and you live in an old house, do that. By the way, the couple with the young children.
Yeah.
How's the nice couple?
Oh, they're awesome. They're young.
Really?
Like our age. Yeah. Our age.
Mm.
Yeah. I can't confirm or deny because
Oscar, it's a time of compromise.
Yes. That's a yes. That's a yes. Very good. Yeah. Here, I've got a nice coat for you.
Mm. Ooh. Yeah, now, Shannon said, go out there and help them. I said,
that's nice.
I said, what do you think I'm going? I'm getting my mask on and my gloves and everything. Just roll out there.
Yeah, but it's bad in his neighborhood because that's like that stuff in that chimney. That's like Paul Revere crap. I mean, it's old neighborhood.
Yeah. We'll take a break and we'll come back with the news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Larry.
King's Things. And now, here's Larry. I don't regret any of my tattoos. Who wants some crackers? If you can't find it on my nightstand, you don't need it. Sandy Duncan is Peter Pan. She can fly, boy. Just looked at my pantry. Too many beans. Shop, shop, shop at the TMOS Shopping Center. Target and Walmart. Big bargains at TMOS.com. Buy it, baby. Be a helper. That's all. Thanks, Larry. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. Well, I'm not sure if you've heard, but we had another wonderful TMOS cocktail party last Friday. A delightful brouhaha that featured flowing libations, your calves, and our better halves. Plus, a surprise appearance from intern Mac. He's still alive. We'll do it again this Friday. And don't forget to remember, this after the Friday show, we hit up a second location known as the TMOS Bonus Show. That's where it really heats up, boy.
Yes.
Another episode that streams free of charge following the regular show. We provide it as a free service, but after it streams, it goes away behind that naughty paywall. So make sure you snag it. Also, keep in mind, there are nearly 500 other commercial-free, uncensored bonus shows available to you for just pennies a day at MikeOMaraShow.com. So a subscription might do you well. It's your passport to the
Passport.
Remember that idea from the... Yeah, we'll get an Asport t-shirt. Yeah, passport to the Asport t-shirt. 7 p.m. Eastern, the fun starts here. The TMOS bonus show, because you need a drink. And besides, you've earned it. Thank you.
News!
Well, if you already hate the Kardashians, and I never, ever put Kardashian stories on this show unless they do something that's really just nasty, dumb,
over the top,
out of it, privileged, never had to really think. I hate that show. I hate the Kardashians. I do. Over the weekend, Khloe Kardashian, they're all made, they all have K names, right? Kim, Khloe, Courtney, Crazy,
Tyler, Tucker.
Over the weekend, Khloe Kardashian thought it would be fun to waste the one thing stores have been running out of by toilet papering her sister's house.
Mm.
She stayed the night at Courtney's place and teamed up with Courtney's 10-year-old son, Mason, to TP all the trees and bushes out front. Courtney posted a video the next morning on Instagram calling the prank genius. Twitter disagreed. A bunch of people online called them out for being so tone deaf when so many people haven't been able to find toilet paper and other essentials. Their mom, Kris Jenner, well, at least she came in with something logical. She posted a photo later on and vowed to help Courtney seek revenge.
Oh,
there you go.
Contrived,
because she's marketing the drama.
You know what the revenge is going to be? They're going to make a pile of masks, those N95 masks, and burn them on the front yard. Ha ha, no. That'll show them.
Now, their revenge plans are, one person said they'll probably fill Khloe's swimming pool with hand sanitizer. That should be fantastic. Rock and roll legend Little Richard died of bone cancer on Saturday. He was 87. His agent said that he last spoke to him 2 or 3 weeks ago, but they didn't really talk about his health. Quote, he'd just say, I'm not well. He's been suffering for many years with various aches and pains. He just wouldn't talk about it much. Little Richard quickly rose to fame in the 50s, was known for his very energetic performance behind the piano. His biggest hits, Tutti Frutti, Long Tall Sally, Good Golly, Miss Molly, an American original, unlike any other. Little Richard. Loved him. Loved him. Loved him.
Look at him. He really, if not for him, there is no Elvis Presley. Without him, there are no Beatles. He paved the way. He's an amazing innovator. And I think a lot of times it's easy to discount him because he looked ridiculous from a distance.
Right.
But realize what he did. He made rock and roll possible. True innovator.
Absolutely. Some people are confusing Sharknado star Tara Reid with Joe Biden accuser Tara Reid because their names are so similar. And Tara Reid, the actress, is hoping to leverage the attention into a possible comeback.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that great? A publicist for Tara, the actress, said she's ramping up her presence on the motivational speaking circuit. Tara Reid is a motivational speaker.
That's good because now she's living in a van down by the river.
Tara, here's a quote. Tara is set for motivational speaking on female empowerment and equal pay for women in Hollywood. After all, she has been judged for being beautiful, blonde, and female for many years before the Me Too movement happened. As far as we know, she does have a publicist and didn't just release the statement herself.
I don't know. The I think if you called her publicist, what you get is, yeah, this is Tara Reid's publicist.
Let me put Tara on the phone.
Hello.
The publicist added, quote, Tara is set to make a major comeback in the next 12 months. She's an upcoming comedy. It's called Tom, Dick, and Harry, as well as the remake of Stephen King's Salem's Lot.
Ah,
Salem's Lot.
That's one of my favorite books.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah. Isn't that the one with Max von Sydow? Isn't that
I believe
the one
so.
Where,
yeah.
Don't you want some cheddar cheese with
just
that?
Just a bit of cheddar cheese.
Yes, just a little bit. Over the past few months, have you found yourself dropping big bucks on stuff you never thought about buying before? Well, you might not be alone. Even though so many people are hurting, According to a new survey, even with the economic situation where it is, Americans are making more impulse buys during the pandemic than we were before. In January, the average person was spending $155 a month on impulse buys. In April, that jumped to $183. And there are two main reasons. One, we're stocking up on stuff that's hard to get that we want to grab while it's on sale. And two, online shopping is one of the big ways we're coping and improving our mood. The top five most common impulse buys are all pandemic must-haves. Cleaning supplies. Mm-hmm. Well, is that really an impulse buy? A cleaning supply?
That's a necessity,
supply?
Right?
That's a necessity, I would say.
Hand sanitizer. Again, necessity. Thank you. What the heck is the guy's say? Airmaster. A-I-R-E Master. Instant hand sanitizer. Thank you to the people at Airmaster for that. Love I truly it. Appreciate that. Very kind of you. Toilet paper, hand soap, canned food. I don't think those are impulse
buys. Oh, my God. No. Guess I got so crazy last night. I went out and bought SpaghettiOs. Oh, my God.
Well, here it comes. The survey also found 21% of people have bought themselves a, quote, treat that they've had their eye on for a while. While 17% have grabbed a video game console, 17% have just bought shoes.
And, you know what a good treat is a cupcake.
No, nothing in this survey about people that may have bought a treat a long time ago and then been forced
had
by their
return
wife
it.
To sell
yes.
it.
Yeah.
Like me.
Automobile.
Internet. All right, here's some quick hits. Could the porn industry help America reopen safely? The industry has used contact tracing and testing to prevent the spread of STDs, and it's possible their methods could translate to coronavirus testing and tracing as well. But so far, apparently no federal or state officials have reached out to anyone in the porn industry for advice. I'm surprised Mike Pence hasn't called, you know, to
yeah,
find
well,
out.
Yeah, well, he's like, I heard Larry Hogan yesterday called everyone that has COVID garbage cans.
Garbage cans. A guy in New Jersey who's been in a 2-year relationship with a ghost says says she's left their quarantine and now he's worried she's cheating on him. Isn't that nice?
Do you believe in ghosts?
You ghosts? Yes, they are. Not sure if this is using gallows humor as a social commentary or if it's a real business idea. A company in Colombia is pitching a hospital bed that can double as a casket if the patient dies. That's about as morbid as it gets. Oh. I don't think that's shtick.
Is that worse than the kiss casket? Which is
it's
worse.
A tie. Yeah.
No, it's worse. Thank you. A guy in Connecticut was kicked out of a McDonald's for not wearing a face mask, so he threw a rock through the window, and then he went to Walmart and shoplifted women's underwear for some reason. The police caught him after that.
That's good.
So there's that. Thank you very much. And now a little something-something. The cops in Nottinghamshire, England. What a great town.
That is.
It's so nice to be back in Nottinghamshire. They went to a house on Thursday night with an arrest warrant for a 35-year-old guy who'd missed a court appearance, but the guy took off running into the woods. The cops chased him in, but they couldn't find him until they heard a noise from a bush, and that noise was the man's flatulence. The cops found him hiding in the bush and arrested him. Because he farted in the bush. Cops did not specify what kind of a bush he hid behind, but I think we've talked about that enough on today's show. We'll take a break, come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Meara Show. Hello, dear. We are in unprecedented times, and it's imperative that we do what we can to flatten the curve. That includes social distancing. Sometimes that's easy, like with my wife. But if it's a young, lovely voter, perhaps one who just turned 18, you may be tempted to reach out and touch them, ideologically, I mean, and harness their excitement to really embrace America. You mustn't do this. Now listen, keep to yourself, stare from a safe distance, make eye contact, purse your lips, perhaps a wink, connect to your imagination. Ooh. And remember, it's not creepy because Bill said it's okay. You're saving lives. Be smart, socially distance. Once this is over, we can all party like a rock star. But don't tell Hillary. Thank you, Bill. Welcome back.
Love it,
interesting.
Man.
Interesting PSA. Coronavirus update. A Northern California surfer was killed in a shark attack on Saturday near Santa Cruz. Health officials say he might have survived if the shark had been wearing a mask. That is horrible. Rob.
It just shows the importance. You have to wear a mask.
Apple is planning to open some U.S. stores this week. They plan to focus on the now ironically named Genius Bar and servicing iPhones, iPads, and their new product, I Not Feel So Good. And doctors have found the coronavirus in men's semen. This means that hundreds of millions of married women will not be affected. Luckily, the TMOS Shopping Center is fast and easy and frees up lots of time for you to spend with your lover. Get things from the Target and the Walmart safely from home while cuddling. Hit up MikeOMaraShow.com and the banner is right there. Click it like you mean it. Instant access to Target and Walmart. Trust me, if they don't have it, you don't need it. Just make sure that you access them through our banner, the TMOS Shopping Center. Shop from home and help us out. Who says romance is dead? Shop together and feel the love. Now, without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for today. Monday, May 11th, 2020. Rob Spiewak, take it away.
Shark can't wear a mask because he has no ears. There's no way to put it on.
Yeah, nothing to hook them on. Let's
it's horrible.
Them.
That's why they're all dying. Exactly. Mike, the Saturday Night Live did their season finale live from home, and it was not as good as the second one, but it was much better than the first one. The one sketch that I watched twice was a sort of a plea to parents and America, and I think it featured a lot of the kids of actual Saturday Night Live cast members. It was a sort of a PSA.
They used to give kids whiskey to help them fall asleep.
That's history.
So a teeny tiny white claw is just a babysitter on the cheek.
Economics.
They let kids in France drink wine a bottle or two a day.
We asked child services and they said it was okay.
That is training.
It's not like they can drive.
Except that one kid on the news who drove when he was five.
Just one drink.
One drink.
Two if they've been good.
Oh,
Babies look drunk anyway.
They burp and puke just like I would.
It was the funniest thing about it is that they had every style of cocktail that a kid was pretending to drink, including like old school little martini glasses. It was great. Go check out some of the sketches from Saturday Night Live this week. It was pretty good. I liked it.
Okay.
This was trending on YouTube over the weekend, and as someone who had to talk his mom through her first Zoom call, I could relate to this. This is called trying to talk tech with your parents.
I don't know your password. How would I know your password?
Nope. There's no start button. You've had a Mac for 5 years.
Try my name.
Try the dog's name.
Try the other dog's name.
Try my name with a one.
Do you see the Wi-Fi symbol?
I have no idea if you have an Instagram account.
It's like a tiny rainbow.
If you don't like them, you don't have to accept their friend request.
So highlight the text with your mouse.
This is my fault. I made you this way.
Just drag the mouse across the text.
I should have taught you how to use the TiVo.
Double click, like tap tap.
I'm not getting impatient. Just real quick, like tap tap.
I'm not upset with you.
What I'm hearing is tap. Tap.
Awesome. So just press Command V.
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 Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's because I love you that I have to hang up.
Wait, really? That should have worked.
That's because I love you that I have to hang up.
It's hard. It's hard.
It really is. And we've all got troubles like this poor lady whose tea kettle, when her water boils, sounds like a car horn.
My tea kettle makes a weird noise. Do you hear that? That's my tea kettle. That's not a car alarm. That's a tea kettle.
That's awesome. I love it.
Why does it make that noise? It's distressing.
And I have to wonder are we at a place now where that would have been a big deal a year ago? No, because she could just leave her house. What? But now she's at home and she's forced to focus on things
like that.
That
is the most horrible sound, isn't
Listen
it?
Again. It's terrible.
My tea kettle makes a weird noise. Do you hear that? That's my tea kettle. That's not.
It's like somebody's hit a tree.
A car alarm.
I know.
That's a tea kettle.
What? It would drive me crazy.
Fantastic.
Okay, so today, I think it's in Japan, Disneyland is reopening. So that's terrific, right?
Really? I thought Japan was having trouble containing.
No, they've reopened at a 30% capacity, and they're going to do all the social distancing and stuff like that.
Okay, good luck with that.
Well, yeah, exactly, which led me to this. This is an ex-Disneyland employee from the Anaheim, the California Disneyland, talking about celebrities that she's had to, like, give tours to and deal with as a Disney employee. And there's some very funny thoughts here. She doesn't name them at the end, but the two she talks about at the end are Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon. Okay. Other ones she name checks.
Will Ferrell was the very first celebrity I met at my very first shift at Disneyland when I worked at the Haunted Mansion. And he is very cool. A very nice man. Jason Derulo does not know lyrics to Christmas songs, and he had to write the lyrics on his hand, and it was kind of embarrassing. Can confirm that Mark Wahlberg is just as handsome in person as he is in photographs, and he is also a very nice man. Nicolas Cage is creepy. He looks like a vampire. He looks like he glows in the dark, and he was a little weird. And these people are awful. I had to deal with both of them separately. She is an absolute diva, and he is an absolute diva. And I hope that no cast member has to deal with these monsters ever again.
She goes on in the video
that's
to say,
Nick Cannon and Mariah Carey.
She says it's me. So later on. It's so funny. She says, "Wow, I can understand Mariah Carey being a diva because she's Mariah Carey,
right.
But Nick Cannon?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely."
So I hope they get their turkey legs and have great fun at Disneyland in Japan. That is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. I gotta go clean my clipper. That's it.
Do you have any of that blue stuff like at a barbershop?
Yeah. It is a wet dry one.
Oh,
I don't know why I mentioned that. But anyway, thank you.
Look,
hope you enjoyed the show.
Look,
don't forget, Friday night we're doing it again.
Yes.
The TMOS cocktail party. Oh, I just got to plan better. I felt so tired on Saturday.
Tired.
I was tired up in the, I'm tired now. Anyway, that's it. We got to get out of here
tired.
For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. Michael Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
We feel sorry for people who don't drink because when you get up in the morning, that's as good as you're going to feel for the rest of the day.
Yeah, boy!
Should I tell people that I am a good at sex?
Just try and have a little fun, folks, that's all.